Morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf kuf yuches. We will learn all about the importance of shalosh seudos, having three meals on Shabbos. Remember in the Mishnah we were taught that if there's a fire, you're allowed to save three meals worth of food. You're allowed to save the food that you need for Shabbos. If the fire is Friday night, right after Kabbalah Shabbos, you can save three meals. If the fire is Shabbos morning, you already ate your Friday night meal, you can save two meals. If the fire is after Mincha, before Shalosh Seudos, you can save one meal. You can save the food that you need for Shabbos. That was the view of the Tanna Kamma. And Rabbi Yossi said you can always save three meals, even if the fire is in the afternoon. Okay, so let's start with that discussion. The issues of meals on Shabbos. Actually, we'll go earlier a little bit. We'll start with talking about Lechem Mishnah. So let's go back to Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We had stopped sort of in the middle. One, two, three lines before the lines get very... Three lines before the lines get very wide. Amar Rav Abba, Rav Abba said, "B'Shabbos chayav adam livtzo al shtei kikros." On Shabbos, you have to begin the meal by picking up two loaves and making the bracha on two loaves, what we call lechem mishnah, and then cutting them open. Because the Torah says about the man, lechem mishnah. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm not going to send man on Shabbos. I'm going to send lechem bread, mishnah, double bread on Friday. People should collect on Friday for Shabbos. So since the man is characterized as lechem mishnah, a double bread, we derive from that that every Shabbos we should have double breads. We should have two loaves when we make the bracha of hamotzi during the meals on Shabbos. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Chazina le Rav Kahana. I actually was at the home of Rav Kahana as a guest, and I saw the Nakatarti. He took the two loaves in his hand to make the blessing. Ubat Sachada. But when it came to actually opening up and eating from it, he only opened up one. He only cut one of them. The other loaf he left whole. So Amar, and he explained, the Torah, when it talks about the man, speaks about liktu, collecting. It says collecting a lechem mishnah. So that is accomplished by lifting up the two loaves. But in terms of eating, they only actually ate one. Reb Zera v'batza kula sheruse. Reb Zera used to cut the bread and take one very big slice. Big enough for the whole meal. It's a huge slice. He's going to eat from it the whole meal. So Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina said to Rav Ashi, v'amevzi kirav tanusa. It looks like somebody's very, very hungry. And he's overindulging his appetite. Amalei, he answered him, came in the kol yom lo avid, since every day he doesn't do this. He's only doing it today when it's Shabbos. Lo mezi kirav tenusa, doesn't look like someone who's indulging too much of an appetite. Rav Ami Rav Asi, ki mikla lehu rifta de eruva. And they had the opportunity to use the bread of the eruv chatzeros. So here in Englewood, for many years, we have an Eruv Chatzeros. We've put strips of plastic on the poles of the telephone and the cable. And by putting strips of plastic along the poles, it turns the wires into frames, into Tzuros HaPesach, into a frame where you have a pole here and a pole there, and a pole on the top of the two side poles. The frame has to have a pole on the top. It can't have a pole in the middle of the side poles. It has to be all the way on the very top. That's how we have to line the poles with plastic strips from the wire to go down to the floor. And then to make it an Eruv Chatzeros, to enable everyone to carry from house to house, from house to shul, we have to have a meal which represents the entire community being part of this meal. So that meal is a box of matzos in the Shomrei Emuna Shul. There's a box of matzos. In Tinek, it's a box of matzos. In Bnei Yeshurun, there's a box of matzos, which is the meal for everyone. So that box of matzos is enabling all the residents of Englewood or the residents of Tinek to carry. It's a mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of making an Eruv. So when they would have a chance to eat matzah from that box of matzos, And so that's the matzah we want to use for Lecha Mishnah, because since it's a matzah of a mitzvah, let me do other mitzvahs. Amri, they said, Hoel v'savida bechada mitzvah, since one mitzvah was done with it, v'savid ba mitzvah achrita, let another mitzvah be done with it.
Are you not allowed to make kiddush on the same cup of wine? So why you can?
Well, there the issue is if you drink from it, because then it's no longer so appealing. It's pagum. But if you have a whole loaf, it's great.
You made another mitzvah on it already.
Yeah, that's even better. You used it last night for Lecha Mishnah. Now today, use it for Lecha Mishnah. It's still whole. The more mitzvah you imbue in an object, the more the object is consecrated and made holy. You don't have to break both of them. You can break one of them. That we saw before.
Didn't we learn that you have to eat like a piece of each of these challahs?
One. You can eat out of one. So the Mishnah had said if there is a fire, so then we have an argument whether on Shabbos, throughout Shabbos, you can save three meals worth, or it depends. At night, you can save three meals worth, in the morning, only two meals, etc. How many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos? So according to the Tana Kama, shalosh, three meals. As we'll see, that's based on the psukim about the man. And Rabbi Chitka Omer Arba. Rabbi Chitka says a person's supposed to eat four meals. Am Rabbi Yochanan said, Ushneihem, both of these Tanaim, Mikra Echad Darshi. They're both interpreting a single pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayom Moshe, Moshe said, Ichluhu ayom, eat it today. Ki Shabbat ayom la'ashem. And hayom lo timtzu basadet. Right? The people went and they had all this man. Moshe tells them, eat it today, because today is a Shabbat for Hashem. Hashem is going to rest. He's not going to send any more rain. More man, hayom lo timtzu basadet. Today you're not going to find it in the field. So the word hayom is mentioned three times. Rabbi Chidka feels, Hani plus Hayom, these three mentionings of the word Hayom, which is a reference to the three meals, Levar Meurt, it's besides Friday night. Rabbanan Savri, whereas the Rabbanan hold, it's Bahade Urta, it's together with Friday night, so therefore, it's a total of three and not a total of four. Tanam, we learned in our Mishnah, now we're going to have a series of questions on Rabbi Chidka. We learned in our Mishnah, if you have a fire that starts on a Friday night, Matzilin, Mazel, and Shalosh Sudos, the Mishnah says, then you can save three meals worth of food. But if it's on Shabbos morning, you only save two meals worth of food. So am I allowed to lo achal? Now, presumably, we're talking about if there's a fire Friday night and you haven't eaten anything yet. So that means there's only three meals that you're supposed to eat over Shabbos. That's not what it means. It means the achal, that he actually already ate his, according to Chitka, it would mean he already ate his Friday night meal, and then there was a fire. Because you're supposed to have, according to Chitka, three meals during Shabbos day, besides the one meal of Friday night. Then the Mishnah says, Shachris, if there's a fire during the morning, then Matzilin Mazon Shtei Sudos, then you can save food for two meals. Again, my love lo achal, isn't it that he hasn't yet eaten the morning meal, and that means that just the morning and the evening are two meals, and then you have Friday night, so a total of only three meals. I said, well, look, again, that's not what it means. It means that he already ate the morning meal, and there are another two meals to go, according to Reb Chitka. The mincha, then the Mishnah says that if there was a fire at mincha, you can only save now one meal. Doesn't it mean that there's only one meal at mincha time? So that means that there's only a total of three meals. I said, well, look, again, that's not what it means. He already ate the mincha meal, and there's yet a fourth meal to come. How can you say this? Since it says at the end, Rabbi Yossi says, whenever the fire happens, you always save three meals. So that sounds like the Tanakama also holds you save three meals. But the Tanakama says it's just not always. The Tanakama says you save three meals if it's a fire on Friday night. Not that if it's a fire on Friday night, you might be saving four meals. Someone says, okay. All right, so fine. So the Mishnah is against Reb Chitka, not a problem. Reb Chitka is a Tana. He's in a Braisa. Okay, so these are not questions to disprove Reb Chitka. You've just proven that there is a Tana who disagrees with Reb Chitka. And that's the Tana of our Mishnah. We know that in the Braisa also there was a Tana who disagreed with Reb Chitka. Now this we learned in the Mishnah. We know that there used to be two types of tzedakah funds. There was the tamchui, sort of like a soup kitchen, where the poor person who didn't have any food would come to get two meals each day. And then there was the kupa. The kupa was sort of the gmilas chesed account. A poor person would come and he would get 14 meals. He'd get at the beginning of the week 14 meals for the whole week. He'd get food for the whole week. But now this is what we learned in the Mishnah. Yishyesh lamazon shtei sudos. If somebody has food for two meals, lo yitol min atamchoy. He shouldn't take from the tamchoy. Mazon arba'as, right? If he has food for 14 meals, lo yitol min akupa. He's not entitled to be taking food from the kupa account. So that sounds like you have 7 days. If you have over 7 days for the next week, you have two meals a day, then you're not entitled to take from the kupa. Now, 1 second. I thought according to the Chachamim, you need to have 3 meals on Shabbos. You should have to have 15 meals to have enough food for a week. According to Reb Chitka, you needed 4 meals on Shabbos. You should have to have 16 meals to have enough food for the week. So the Gemara now asks the money. So now, who's this Tana? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Reb Chitka. It's neither the Rabbanan nor is it Reb Chitka. Here, Rabbanan, if you're going to tell me it's the Rabbanan, Chamsri Avyan, it should be that the person should have to have 15 meals to say he has enough for the week and he's not entitled to take from the Kupa. If it's Rebbe Chitka, it should be 60 meals, and then he's not entitled to take from the Kupa. Answer the Gemara, Lo'olam Rabbanan. Really, it is the Rabbanan. Tamin Olay, we tell him, listen, if you have 14 meals, my debois lemechal ba'afuke shabsa, what you were planning to eat as your meal on Saturday night, achle b'shabsa, eat it on Shabbos. So, you know, it's 14 meals, means a meal for each night and a meal for each morning over the week. So it means there's a meal for Saturday night. So we tell him, listen, the Saturday night meal, eat it a little bit earlier, eat it on Shalosh Yudos. Leim Rabbanan hi, v'lo Rabbi Chitka. Okay, so now it's only the Rabbanan. No, it doesn't work for Rabbi Chitka, because according to Rabbi Chitka, it's not enough that you figured out a way that he could have 3 meals. You'd have to figure out a way how he should be able to have 4 meals on Shabbos. If you would say Rabbi Chitka, you could even say it's Rabbi Chitka too. He has 14 meals for a week. So how does he have food for 4 meals on Shabbos? He has to have two meals a day. So the answer is, Daminulay, we tell him, what you were planning to eat on Friday, to eat it on Friday night. So the Gemara said, I don't understand. We're going to tell this poor man who only has 14 meals for a week, we're going to tell him, eat your Saturday night meal earlier when it's Shalosh Yudos, and eat your Friday meal later on Friday night. So what, on Friday he fasts? The Gemara says, all right, you're right. Ella Hamani Rebbe Akiva. You're right. This is the view of Rebbe Akiva. This is the view of Rebbe Akiva. And therefore, it could be that we would tell him, this poor man only has 14 meals, we would tell him that's it. We're not giving him more food from the kupa. 14 meals, it should be 15 meals, it should be 16 meals. No. The answer is the view of Rabbi Akiva. Damar used to say, "Asei Shabbat Chachov al Tetzdarich Labrios." Rabbi Akiva says that a person should never look to ask for charity. It's never good to ask for charity. It's demeaning. It's unhealthy. Hashem wants us to work. Hashem doesn't want us to ask for charity, and you know it's an affront to the dignity of a Jewish soul. You know, we learned back in Masechta, right? We learned back in Masechta Brachos, the Gemara said even such a strong comment, Gadol Hanenem Yegia Kapav Yoser Mirei Shamayim, greater is someone who benefits from the toil of his hands, even more than someone has fear of heaven. So Hashem wants us to be workers, Hashem wants us to be industrious. We say in Pirkei Avos, Ahavat HaMalacha, love work, Snaa Sabatala, hate having nothing to do. When you have nothing to do, it leads to boredom, it leads to insanity, it leads to depression. It's important to go out, to work, and to be busy. And so if a person is poor, Rabbi Akiva says, better that he not even honor Shabbos, better that he have just very simple foods and not be needing to ask for help and not be asking for help. So therefore, if he has 14 meals, that means what? He has 2 meals a day. So he has 2 meals a day for a week. So that means that Shabbos is going to be the same as Friday. It'll be the same as Thursday. It'll be the same as Wednesday. That's enough. Let it be that way. Let it stay that way. Better that you should make your Shabbos a weekday and only have 2 meals when you should really be having 3 or you should really be having 4. and not be asking for charity, not be taking from the charity funds, not be taking from the kupa or from the tamchoi.
Well, I think that what said that when we give it, better to give a halva than a chesed.
That's also true. Right? Yeah. Better to keep the best is to invest in his business. Even better, but yeah, whatever you can do to enable him to maintain his dignity and his working is very good.
He picked up one shot, or every day he came for two.
No. He had 14 meals. He used to pick it up in one shot. So if somebody already has 14 meals, he can't pick up anything. He has food for a week. Okay. Now again, another law of charity, which might shed light on this question of whether a person is supposed to have 3 meals on Shabbos or 4 meals on Shabbos. Now, this one in the Mishnah, Ein pochsin la'ani, when you are a charity distributor, you don't give to a poor person anything less. Over mimakom l'makom, so he's traveling from place to place, you don't give him less, mikikar b'punjom, you don't give him less than a loaf that is purchased for a punyon, when arba sa'in, when 4 sa'a flour go for a sela. So in other words, you're giving him a loaf, which is enough for 2 meals. Lan, and if he's sleeping here tonight, nosim lo parnasas lina. We also give him all the needs to sleep here tonight. Shabbos, and if he's spending Shabbos here, says the Mishnah, the charity distributor gives to the charity collector, to the poor man, nosin lo mazon shalosh sudos. You give him a meal for 3 meals. You give him food for 3 meals. So lema rabbanan hi, lor bichidka. So let's propose that this is the view of the rabbanan, and not the view of Rabbi Chidka. Because according to Rabbi Chidka, if he's staying for Shabbos, it shouldn't be that we give him food for 3 meals. We should be giving him food for 4 meals. So answer the Gemara, lo olam, no, maybe not. This is the view of Rabbi Chidka. Maybe we're talking about a poor person who's going from place to place and he carries with him a meal. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that the charity distributor tells him, the meal that you have with you, eat. And therefore it's enough to get just the meals that you're going to get from the community. 4 of them you'll eat on Shabbos. And the 5th, you'll eat on Matzoy Shabbos. So the Gemara now asks, 1 second, v'chiyazel b'reikanazel. So then we're going to give him food, and he's going to go away empty-handed. So the Gemara says, no. On Sunday, we'll give him another meal. So malvinon le sudabade. When we escort him out, we're going to escort him out with another meal. So now, talking about what this we said about a poor person who's coming here to sleep, we also give him, you know, the means to sleep. My parnasas lina. What does it mean enough for him to sleep here? I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that's not food. It means we give him puraya, we give him a bed, ube sadya, and we give him a woven blanket that he puts underneath his head and he covers himself with it. Yeah, question.
What is the definition and breakdown of the meal? Meals.
Depends on each person, but a meal by definition has to have bread. The basis of it is bread, and then as much as a person can afford. You know, the nicer the meal, the more luxurious the foods, the better.
It contain a Birkat Hamazon, right?
Well, bread will require Birkat Hamazon.
I don't have the bread, but let's say you have a piece of meat, and that's it. Is that a meal?
No, bread. You need to have bread.
You have to have the bread.
Yeah.
Baruch for me, kebab, baby.
He's on the fire.
With rice and hummus. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braita. Karo shachal behen arvis. The bowls that someone ate out of them on Friday night. Madichan, he's allowed to wash them on Shabbos. Lechol behen shachris, to be able to eat from them during the morning, because that's preparing for Shabbos. The bowls that he ate from them during Shachris, during the morning, Madichan Lechol Ben Batzarayim, he can wash them out to eat from them in the afternoon. Because again, he's washing to prepare for Shabbos. Batzarayim, what he ate in the afternoon, Madichan Lechol Ben Bamincha, he can wash them out to eat from them at night. Menamincha Ba'elach, whatever he ate from the evening and on, Shuv Eino Madiach, he's not allowed to wash out. But when you have cups and bowls and plates, Madiach v'holich kol hayom kulo, that you can, you know, small plates, that you can wash off and clean throughout the day, l'fi she'in kevel l'shtiyah, because you never know what time you're going to want to drink something. So you always need to have cups available. All right, so now we're going to talk about the specialness of eating three meals on Shabbos. Yeah, question.
When we are guests and they give us the shalosh sudah, are we allowed to leave a little bit, we say, for Sunday, because maybe I'm not going to, or this is not good to do it?
I don't think so. It said that they would give him on Sunday food to go. They'd give him a sandwich
so
to
we
go.
Have to be boteach.
Yeah, and also the community has a responsibility not to let somebody leave town empty-handed. He has to have food for the trip as he goes. It's part of our responsibility to help the traveler and to do hachnasat orchim and gmilut chasadim. So Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the name of Bar Kapara. Anyone who fulfills the law of eating three meals on Shabbos, nitzol mishalosh poranios, he'll be saved from three tragedies. Mechevlo shel Mashiach, from the pain that's going to come before Mashiach. Midina shel Gehenim, from the judgment in Gehenim. Umimlechemes Gog Magog, and from the war between Gog and Magog. Now, these are all psukim that prove this. Mechevlo shel Mashiach, will be saved from the pain before the coming of Mashiach. The birth pangs of Mashiach. Sivacha says over here, Yom, right? Chlu Ayom, eat it today. Sivacha says over there about Mashiach. Hini Anochi, Shaleach Lachem, Eseliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Nora. Behold, I'm sending to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the day of God, which is great and awesome. Midin Shal Gehenim, you'll be saved from judgment from Gehenim. Sivacha says again, it says over here, Chlu Ayom, eat it today. Sivacha says over there, about Gehenim, Yom Evra Hayom Ahu, a day of rage is that day. Melchemes Gog Magog, you'll be saved from the war of Gog Magog. Ksivacha says over here, Yom, a day. Ksivacha says over there, Biyom Ba'Gog, on the day that Gog is arriving. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rishon Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan sending Rabbi Yossi. Kolam Anigas HaShabbos. Anyone who makes Shabbos a delight, he eats meats, he eats duck. Nos Nimlo Nachla Bli Mitzarim. They're going to give him an inheritance that has no limits. Shemem, as it says, Us Tisanigal Hashem, then you will delight over God. And I will make you ride over the heights of the earth. And I will give you to eat from the inheritance of Yaakov, your forefather. So it says if you delight the Shabbos, you get from the inheritance of Yaakov. So that means, lo kavram. It's not the inheritance of Avram. Shekasubo, it says about Avram, go walk in the land to its length and width, because I'm going to give you the land, which is only this land. Look, Yitzchak, not like Yitzchak, Shekasabo, it says about Yitzchak, Yilachol, Zaracha, Atenitz, Kalaratzo, Sael, for to you and to your descendants, I'll give all of these lands. Eloki Yaakov, rather like Yaakov, Shekasabo, it says about Yaakov, Faratzi, Yom of Akedim, Mitzafon of Anegba, go spread out to the east, and to the west, and to the north, and to the south. Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Yitzchak said, Nitzom Yeshiva Golios, a person is saved. If a person delights in Shabbos, he's saved from the affliction of exiles. Ksevacha says over here, I will put you up on the heights of earth. Sivasim says over there, and you will step over their heights. In other words, instead of them being higher over you, you'll eventually become higher over them. So instead of Sheba Golios, instead of the Gentiles being in charge of you, you'll be ultimately in charge of them. I'm going to review the name of Rab. Kalamana gets a Shabbos. Anyone who makes Shabbos a delight knows him Shalos Libo. Then they'll grant him his requests. Shenhamas, it says, V'sanegel Hashem, and delight over God, and he'll give you the request of your heart. Oh, Nexenio de Amalus, what's the definition of delight? When the verse goes on to say, right, it says, V'sanegel Hashem, delight over God. What is the delight over God? So since it says elsewhere, V'sanak, V'karas l'Shabbos oneg, call Shabbos a delight, have you omish oneg Shabbos, the delight over God is the delight over Shabbos. Bamema ango, how do you make Shabbos a delight? Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav Amar. Rabbi Yehuda the son of Shmuel bar Shilas said in the name of Rav, the Tavshel Shel Dradim, you eat borscht, you have a cooked food of cooked meat, the Dagim Gedolim and big fish, the Rashi Shumim and the heads of garlic. Rabbi Yehuda Rashi Amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Rashi Amar Rav, Afilu Davar Mua, even something small, Mechavet Shabbos Aso, if you did it for the honor of Shabbos, Areza Oneg, that is a delight. Maihi, what is that? I'm Rav Papa, because of the harsana, little fried fish. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan. Anyone who keeps Shabbos the right way without violating it, afilu over at avodah zarah kedor Enosh, even if he's somebody who worships idols like the generation of Enosh, mostly know he'll get forgiveness. And Hermes, it says, Asher Enosh yesezos. Fortune is the man who does this. Shomer Shabbos mechalalo, who keeps Shabbos from desecrating it. Al tikre mechalalo, ella machulo. Asher Enosh, fortune is an Enosh, a person from the generation of Enosh. If he keeps Shabbos, machulo, it's forgiven to him. Had the Jewish people kept the first Shabbos that they were given, no nation would ever have been able to rule over us. As it says, it wasn't that seventh day. Unfortunately, the people went out to collect the money and they desecrated the Shabbos. Then it says after that, Amalek came and attacked the Jews. But had we not gone out to desecrate Shabbos, we never would have been attacked by Amalek. If the Jewish people would just keep two Shabbos the way they should, immediately they'd be redeemed. It says, Hashem, so says Hashem to the ministers, to the eunuchs, those who can't give birth to children, who will keep my Shabbos. It says after with that, I'm going to bring them to my holy mountain. Rabbi Yossi said, let my portion be amongst those who eat three meals on Shabbos. The Maharsha explains, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi was a teacher, and he said that there were people who weren't eating three meals on Shabbos. They only ate two meals on Shabbos. So he used to say, I wish I'd be a person who would eat three meals on Shabbos, to inspire others to come back to eating three meals on Shabbos. Amr Rabbi Yossi used to say another thing, may my portion be amongst those who complete the whole halal every day. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, any, is that even a good thing? Didn't we learn? If a person says the whole halal every day, he's a blasphemer. In other words, the sages instituted halal for special occasions. If every day is a special occasion, then you have nothing to mark a special occasion. And so the Gemara, Kikarmina, what did he mean when he said he wants to complete the whole halal every day? It's Psukah de Zimra. It's the verses of Psukah de Zimra. He wants to say the Halalukas at the end of Ashrei, because those are a halal. It's a praise of God every day. So apparently there were people who would come late to shul, they wouldn't say Psukah de Zimra. So he used to say, to try to encourage them, I wish I'd be somebody who has the privilege to say the full Psukah de Zimra every day, the verses of praise every day. Rabbi Yossi said, I wish that my portion will be with those who pray with the redding sun. In other words, so they pray in the morning with the nates, as the sun is red as it's rising. And they pray at night with shkia, with the sun going down. So I wish I'd be amongst those people. The best time, right? It's a mitzvah to pray with the reddening sun. Reb Zera said, my crow, what's the pasuk? Pasuk says, Yiro'ucha em shamash. They will fear you with the sun. Right before the moon, Dor Dorim, generation after generation. Rabbi Yossi said further, Halavai, I wish I should be someone who dies, Rabbi Yossi said, from the illness of the intestines, because that's very painful. And to die a painful death will be a kapara, will wipe away all of our sins. As we've learned, Ruben Shel Tzadikim Mesim B'cholim Me'ayim, most of those who do the right things die with intestinal disease. I should be one of those who die when they're busy doing a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi said further, I'd like my portion to be amongst those who enter into Shabbos in Tveria, which was very low. So since it was very low, the sun is hidden. So when it's pretty early on Friday, they already think the sun has set, so they start Shabbos early. And I should be somebody who exits Shabbos in Tzipori, because Tzipori is very high. And as a result, they would have a very good view of the sun. So they would keep Shabbos very late. So I'd want to start Shabbos as early as possible and keep it as late as possible. Rabbi Yossi said further, I wish that my portion should be amongst those who gather their students every day to come to the Beis Medrash, and not one of those who tell people, sorry, you have to leave the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yosef said further, Yechelki mikaboy tzedakah. May my portion be amongst those who collected tzedakah, lo mechalkei tzedakah, not from those who have to give out the tzedakah. Because when you have to give out the tzedakah, sometimes you have to say no. And that's a very scary thing. Maybe you said no to the person who really needs it. And then you might have caused the person to pass away. Salavai, better to be the one who gets everybody else to give to the tzedakah than to be the one who actually decides who gets the tzedakah. Lam Rabbi Yosef said further, Yehi chelki misha choshtin osu ve'inbo. I wish that my portion would be amongst those who get suspected of sins and they don't have those sins. And Amar Rav Papa, said, Lididi chashdan, they suspected me, v'lo hava bi, and I didn't have that thing. So that's a great thing, that people accuse you of things that you didn't do. It's a great thing to be accused of those things, because that's a kapara, it's an atonement, it's a source of merit, so it's a great thing to have those types of challenges. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi once said another thing. Chamesh bilus ba'alti, I had 5 acts of intercourse. V'natati chamisha razim b'Yisrael. And I planted 5 cedar trees in Israel. In other words, out of each act of intercourse, I gave birth to a very prominent son. Who are these wonderful children of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilus, the son of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Benachim, the son of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara asks, so Ikav Ardimus, but there was another child, Ardimus, he's also a son of Rabbi Yossi. Hainu Vardimus, Hainu Menachem. Vardimus is just another name for Menachem. Amai Karile, so why was he called Vardimus too? Shepan of Dom Levered, his face was like a rose. It was a very beautiful face. The Maimer, does that tell us? Rabbi Yossi mitzvahs on Elokim. Right? Rabbi Yossi wasn't a good husband. He only had intercourse 5 times with his wife, and out of that he had 5 sons. I mean, a husband is supposed to have intercourse with his wife when she comes back from the mikvah. He's supposed to have intercourse with his wife once a week when she's not tameh. He's supposed to have intercourse with his wife, or maybe, right? Talmid Chacham is once a week. He's supposed to have intercourse with his wife before he goes on a trip. So what does it mean? Rabbi Yossi wasn't keeping the mitzvah of Ona? Let's rather read it like this. Chamesh bilus ba'alti, vishanisi. I had 5 acts of intercourse. And immediately after doing the act of intercourse, he didn't go to sleep. He then built up the strength and had the act of intercourse a second time. And because he had made the effort to have the act of intercourse a second time, that's why he gave birth, out of those acts, to very strong children. So the children who were like cedars, who became the Torah scholars. But in terms of the general obligation of intercourse, he did his job. He was a husband. He did what he was supposed to do for his wife. He had regular acts of intimacy with his wife.
Money and buy
food. You can't on Shabbat.
Well, then they stay hungry then?
That's it? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Miyamai lo karasi liishti ishti. I never would call my wife wifey. It was shori. I wouldn't call my ox. Liishti besi. I'd call my wife my home. In other words, I would appreciate that my wife is more than just someone who's doing something for the person. She makes the whole house work. Ulushorin, I'd call my ox sadi, my field, because that's really what makes my field a source of livelihood, that I have an ox to plow it. Rabbi Yossi said another thing. I was so modest, in my entire life I never looked at my male organ in a spot of circumcision. Any, is that so? Didn't they tell Rabbi, my time karule Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Karulach Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why do they call you our holy teacher? Because in my lifetime, I never looked at my bris mila. So if Rabbi never looked at his bris mila, he was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. If Rabbi Yossi did the same thing, Rabbi Yossi should have been called Rabbi Yossi HaKadosh. We just call him Rabbi Yossi. So my answer is, Rabbi had something even more than just not looking at the place of the bris mila. He never let his hand go beneath his belt, so as to never be even close to touching that organ. I'm Rabbi Yosef said further, the beams of my house never saw the fibers of my robe, because he used to slip it on and slip it off. I'm Rabbi Yosef used to say further, I never violated the words of my peers, the other sages. And Yodei Ani Ba'atzmish Eini Kohen. I know I'm not a Kohen, but if my friends would tell me, Aleil Duchan, go up and say Birchas Kohanim, Ani Ola, I would go up and do it because whatever the rabbis tell me to do, I'm going to do. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, another thing. V'yamai lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'achorei. Rabbi Yossi is saying, I never said something and then had to retract it. In other words, if I said something about somebody else, I would only say the truth. So, you know, there are some people, they'll say something about, you know, Zev, and then Zev will say, did you say this about me? They'll say, I didn't really say it about you, right? Because they're embarrassed to say it. Rabbi Yossi says, I was never embarrassed by anything I said, because I would only say the truth, and therefore I would never have to retract what I had said about another person. And he thought that when he's saying the truth, you could say it even if it's negative, although we don't pass in that way. We say that something negative about others, you're not supposed to say, even if it's the truth. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, basically, I deserve reward. Because I fulfilled three meals on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda said, basically, I deserve reward. The Mekaymus Iyin Tefila, that I fulfill prayer in the right way. I have concentration on the words when I say it. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, basically, I deserve reward. The Lo Segidna, Arba Amos Begidli Rosh. I wouldn't walk 6 feet with my head uncovered. Rav Sheshi said, basically, I deserve reward. The Kayim is mitzvah tefillin, that I fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. Rav Nachman used to say, basically, I deserve reward. The Kayim is mitzvah tzitzis, I fulfill the mitzvah of always wearing tzitzis, and I won't take 6 feet of steps without tzitzis on. Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rabbah, what was your father very careful about? What was his main mitzvah? Amalei said tzitzis. Yom Achad, one day, Abakasal Bedarg, he was climbing a ladder, if Siklei Chutzah, one of his strings, tore. And he wouldn't come down v'asa until he had fixed his tzitzis. Amar Abai used to say, "Tasty, I deserve reward." When I see a Torah scholar who completes a tractate, and I make a big holiday for all the rabbis, I make a meal for all the students in the yeshiva. Amar Rabba said, "Tasty, I deserve reward." If he asks a Torah Rabbanan lekamay ledina, when a Torah scholar comes before me for a judgment, lo mezigne reisha beisaja, I won't put my head on the pillow. Kamalam pchidne mizchuse, unless I'm trying to find a way to defend him. So not that he was going to be unfair to him, but basically within the law, whatever is right, he had such love for Torah scholars that he couldn't sleep until he was thinking something positive about this litigant who's in front of him, embroiled in a dispute. Amar Bar Ravashi, Amar the son of Ravashi said, "Silma le tzur merabana ledina. I cannot judge any Torah scholar. My time, or why? To chavu like a gufai, because I love Torah scholars as much as I love myself. And Adam roa chavu laatzmo. A person's never going to see anything wrong in himself. Ad kan daf kuf yudchel."